Hey, this is Cycle Breaker Juliana, bringing you conversations and thoughts on how to break cycles and patterns and false beliefs and false programming that are holding you back in your life. To instill belief that you are powerful and that you are capable, you can heal and stand in your own power, advocate for yourself, for truth, and for others. Welcome.
Hi, friends. Juliana Sauber here, and I am so excited to have Lewis Tucker with me from the Wizard's Cave. We just love Lewis. I ran into Lewis first. He goes to a lot of these shows and he sells these amazing stones and crystals. Super powerful. When you walk by his booth, you can feel the energy of what's coming up and you're just drawn into it. So I wanted to invite Lewis on to talk about some of the tools he's got, because I first knew of you as your, you know, the crystal guy at the shows,
right?
But you have so many more things in your toolkit, One of which is breath work. And wow, let's talk about breath work and let's talk about the power of it, because I had done psilocybin a while back and had an amazing experience. And I like the idea of replicating that, but not necessarily ingesting on a regular basis. So you and I started talking and you said, hey, what about breath work? So welcome. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. The Wizard's Cave, I talk about the fact that it is a foster home for crystals.
Yes.
And I travel around the country and set up pop-ups and go to expos so that they can find their forever home.
Yes.
They are high vibrational. I go to different kinds of wholesale shows and whatnot, and they pick me. At one point, I thought I picked them, and I had a lot of good taste in crystals. But then I realized that they were picking me because I'm just a transport.
Yeah.
If they had arms and legs, they would not need me. They would just come knocking at your door and say, "Here, I'm here.
Here, I'm here.
It's time to work with me." And again, that's one of the tools that I use. I think. My background is I was a traditional drug and alcohol counselor for 20 some odd years, and then just really got called more into holistic and it's interesting to use the word alternative. Some people use non-traditional, and yet so many of the tools that we use, and I'm sure with Juliana, are thousands of years old.
Yeah.
So that's more the traditional, healing tools than some of the ones we use now.
Right.
One of those being breath work.
Yeah.
There are many kinds of breath work. There's pranic breath. There's meditative breath. So the training that I received, the exposure I received, was a particular style of breath work that came out of the holotropic breathwork style. And the holotropic breathwork style was created by Stan and Christina Groth. They're psychiatrists. They were doing a lot of research in transitioning people from life, terminally ill people. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they were using LSD and hallucinogenic to help people create an altered state. Yeah. And from that altered state, they could go inward and connect with their higher self psyche and do whatever work it was up to them to do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what happened was that they made that illegal, the use of LSD. And so what they did, because the work was so profound, they started exploring different ways of creating this altered state.
Yeah.
And in the research, they found with indigenous tribes, they use a combination of times. They use psilocybin or mushrooms or ayahuasca, those kinds of things. But they use marijuana, tobacco, but they use those very sparingly.
Yeah.
And their primary way of inducing this altered state is a combination of breath and music.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that, I was trained by a student of Stan and Christina Groth. Her name was Jacqueline Small. And what she did was that she took the concept of holotropic breathwork and then created a model for doing psycho-spiritual integration.
Mm.
A lot of just, and so for me, it was more guided than the holotropic. The holotropic is wonderful when people come up with experiences. The psycho-spiritual integration was more guided towards self-awareness, release of things that keep us from expressing our divinity. And through that process myself, is part of where my guidance to do a lot of my work is. And so for me, the breath work is a combination of a breathing style and evocative music that basically moves through the chakra system. Mm-hmm. And what it does, we were talking earlier about some of our beliefs that prevent us from being who we truly are.
Right.
Well, that comes for me from the ego.
Yeah.
The ego has all these old beliefs, all these old ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And because what worked when I was 4 is going to work when I'm 66, right?
Yeah.
So, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the other part of this process between the breath and the music, it takes the ego and gives it something to do.
Mm.
And as it's given something to do, then my spirit comes up, my higher self, and does whatever healing, teaching, awareness that I'm supposed to get in the moment.
Yeah.
And so it can be physical, just a physical release and healing. It could be biographical, whether it's trauma or whatnot. It can be past life.
Yeah.
Experiences. It can also be transpersonal. So the archetypal, where we're doing different healings for the planet.
Right, right.
And so in this process, and it's a very individual process, I've been facilitating breath work with 30 people,
mm-hmm.
and all 30 people have different experiences.
Yeah.
And yet there's a thread that moves through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. That. And the reason I like the method, I mean, being a recovering addict and alcoholic, now, I did acid to begin with because I wanted to see God.
Mm.
Now, the difficulty was when I saw God, I just waved to him on my way back. Because, again, the drug I had in my system actually was controlling the experience in a way.
Right, right.
Whereas, like you talked about with the breath work, then my psyche is in control of the experience.
Yes.
And so I can come out of it and reset, or if there's some music I don't like, or if there's an experience I don't like, I can shift out of that and then go back in and set some intention around some other activities.
Right.
And I find it really, it's really good as what I consider an accelerator, because all of us, we're doing a lot of work, we're moving forward. It's very arduous. It's, it can be the talk therapy. It can be other kinds of therapy.
Right.
And yet it's all conscious. It's all involves some of the ego.
Yeah.
And so then you do a particular amount of work, and then you have this experience, and it all almost integrates it and then launches you into the next level of experience.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I experienced it just this week and for the first time. And it was completely not a body of experience, which was similar to the psilocybin. I appreciate your comment about control, because that was one of my challenges with psilocybin, is getting through the, I feel very out of control and I don't have control over the time amount and, the experience. So though I would do it again, I have to recognize that there could be a balance, and I don't want to do that regularly. I wanted a different tool. So this is really nice, because it was a limit, smaller amount of time, and easier, I think, for me to walk into. So where people are concerned about taking the plant medicines, this is easier to walk into and to walk out of. And I did absolutely have a complete out of body experience. Definitely flying. In fact, I told you, I ended up jumping off a building, and I didn't fall. I flew.
It was a castle.
If anybody's seen the Dumbledore movie, it's one of the castles that's in the Dumbledore movie. And I just basically jumped off the roof, which symbolically for me is jumping off, in my work, out into the world. So all the things I've talked about doing, public speaking and teaching and doing more podcasting and you know, all kinds of different things, had a level of hesitation. And so symbolically, what that meant for me psychically was I'm jumping off and guess what? I'm going to fly. I'm not going to fall.
Beautiful.
So that was really nice. And then there were other experiences of, I always want to be connected and guided by source. And having been raised very intellectually, there's an intellectual part of me, the ego part of me that goes, well, are you actually connected to source? And so what I saw was an image of myself flooded with source. I mean, it was just this absolutely stunning image of myself just completely engulfed in source. So again, it was validation that I'm there. And yes, my conscious mind, yes, my ego might occasionally go, yeah, I can go, ego, I don't need you today. Thank you so much for protecting me when I was a child and teaching me survival in this world. However, I'm now moving forward. And I agree with the integration piece of it, the faster integration. Because these are things that have been on my mind and in my work lately. And it was in that hour period when I was deepest in it. It was validation. It was integration. It was the yes, check the box, which for me is important. The Virgo in me likes the checklist. And so yes, check the box, right?
Yes.
And for people that are looking for that ethereal kind of experience, it's absolutely that. For people that are looking for concrete knowledge, information, guidance, it's also that. And it's unfiltered, as you said, by the ego, which is great because then it isn't based on survival. It's based on thriving. What does it look like to be thriving moving forward? So that's pretty cool.
And it's based on creation.
Yeah.
What is new? What is moving? What are we moving into?
Mm-hmm.
I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and looking at and with the breath work, and the idea is that in my choices, I'm either looking at the plan of my divine blueprint,
mm-hmm.
or I'm looking at my ego's plan for my survival.
Oh yeah.
So, because the ego for me is all about safety and survival.
Yes.
And so those are the decisions it makes. And of course, any change means death. Mm-hmm. So I need my ego because it tells me whether the light is green or red when I'm driving my car. Right. I don't need it to drive the bus.
Yeah.
So to speak. So.
Yeah. And it won't necessarily get you where you want to go either.
Oh, no.
You know, like you said, it has a totally different map.
Yeah.
A map based on survival. If you had, this is the analogy that if you had unreliable parents, emotionally unreliable parents, which can look like all kinds of different things, but emotionally unreliable parents means that you have to create an environment where you rely on yourself. And in doing so, like I was super controlling, super duper controlling. Which created a lot of stress and angst and frustration. And then I did everything halfway because I was stretched too thin. It's all of those things, right? And because I wasn't perfect, then I was horrible. Then I was a bad person. I was not good enough. I was not worthy enough, yada, yada, yada.
Those are my messages.
Yeah.
It looked different growing up, and yet it's the same message.
Yeah, yeah. So by clearing the control out and saying, okay, fine. And it was interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, you know, surrender to me in this moment, surrender looks like giving up. But surrender isn't giving up. And I love that ego comment, that you are following the roadmap of the divine, the blueprint of the divine for your life versus a very narrow path and limited path of the ego.
And the idea of my divine blueprint and everyone's divine blueprint is created in concert with the divine.
Yeah.
So I'm an active participant in creating that blueprint.
Yes.
And so that's just a very freeing feeling when you first experience that.
Well, and what I'm hearing from guidance is the active participant, portion of it is incredibly important, because you might hit listen to this and go, breathwork sounds fun. Mm-hmm. And then you do nothing.
Right.
Be an active participant. Mm-hmm. Go find some breathwork classes. Go find someone who knows mm-hmm. breathwork. Connect with Lewis. Mm-hmm. Get the breathwork done. Get this experiences in. And it might be a little bit scary at first to let go, especially if you're a controlling person. The first time, the fifth time, the 60th time, each time is a little bit less challenging. And now I get really excited about, I'm just going to let the reins go.
And the idea of that for me is that every breath work that one does is different.
Yeah.
Is that so whatever my psyche has me move through in the breath work, then it's done.
Yes.
And so then the next breath work, then it's something else, yes. something different. And then that's complete. And then, so it's this evolutionary process of healing
yes.
that integrates things rather than, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Right.
That's right. The ego's path.
It is the ego's path. And if you if you're hearing this and you're like, well, I keep making the same decisions over and over again, be aware that that is the ego's path. And the ego you can choose to let the ego be in charge, or you can take charge. And it's the moment you begin to take charge, the ego is going to kind of start to wrestle you a bit. Be aware that the wrestling is bringing you awareness.
A bit. There's going to be a smackdown. I don't mean to scare anybody.
Yeah.
And yet.
Be ready for a little WWE.
Yeah.
The ego, remember, you may or may not be aware, the subconscious is 90% of our behaviors and our actions. It is the tape that's playing over and over again about the decisions you made about what is safe in life and what is not safe in life. And it likes to be in charge. Its whole job is to keep you sort of safe. But that was, my favorite way to look at it is, was when there were saber-toothed tigers outside of your house.
Right.
We don't have saber-toothed tigers anymore. The perceived dangers we have are the blasted cell phones, the kids' soccer schedules, the boss yelling at you, emails, text messages, TikTok, Facebook, on and on, like this whirlwind of things that we've turned into the saber-toothed tiger.
And the ego really only has two modes of operation. It either uses fear, which is based on the past, or based on the future actually, and shame, which is based on the past.
Yeah.
And then so it never is in the present moment.
Right.
It's always somewhere else. And that's part of the key with the psyche, is the more moments we can create where we're present, then the less control the ego has.
Yeah. Excellent point.
And
yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I need to get rid of my ego, I need to kill my ego, I need to do this or that. And it's no. We need to turn our ego into a trusted servant.
Trusted servant.
If I want to plan a vacation, I need my ego. Okay? Because it does the details. And so what right. I do is I give it a job.
Yeah.
If I give it a job, then my spirit can then function at a higher level to do what it is that I'm supposed to do to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think also to navigate the world in a, the word softer comes up, and I want to put an asterisk next to softer, because softer meaning that we're gentler and more gracious with each other, but softer does not mean you allow people to run over you. We could use a lot more grace and a lot more allowance in the world right now. And if we gave that grace and allowance and kept our boundaries, then we'd be better off, I think, as a planet.
And the word that I like is that it's simple. Simple doesn't mean easy.
Right.
Juliana and I can talk about this and sounds really easy and really flowing and whatnot, and yet it is relentless. It is arduous. There's hard work involved in this, and personal responsibility. It is simpler, and again, sometimes the simpler way is more difficult to begin with.
Yeah, it is. We were just talking at the beginning when you first came in earlier off camera is, you know, the Buddha says that that life is suffering, and it is suffering, but you made an excellent point.
Yeah, and that is that there is suffering life, and yet it doesn't have to be misery.
Yes.
Misery is that, I think there's another in the Four Agreements. There's the idea of not taking things personally.
Yeah.
Okay. Not taking things personally doesn't mean that I don't feel the hurt or feel whatever it is that I experience in the situation. It just means that I don't take it on.
Right.
And I don't make it part of who I am. And that's what misery is that, you know, it's like in Winnie the Pooh, it's like Eeyore.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So it is, you know, it's for me, it's been the most difficult work I've ever done, including the breath work and some other things on my path. And yet it's been the most rewarding thing.
Oh yeah.
Look, we're smiling and laughing and joking right. about it instead of going, boy, that's really difficult. Do I have to do this again?
Yes.
So anyway,
right.
I have days like that.
Yeah, I remember prior, I guess the my period before the initiation of walking along this path, sitting in my house, curtains drawn, all the lights off, midday, feeling that misery, being in the misery, wallowing in it. And there came this, it took probably several days, maybe even a few weeks of doing that. And I went, oh, screw this. This can't be the end of it. This can't be all there is. And I started just by, I didn't know what this meant at the time. I know what it means now is that I put out into the universe, I need some support, some guidance. I need to understand what the next step is. Put some light out. And so it would be a article that would be brought my way or Gaia. I discovered Gaia TV at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would be given these, Gaia TV recommendations that would be spot on to what I needed. And it was just this one nugget after another, following that, you know, the cheese on the trail. And it got bigger and it grew and it was brighter. And yes, there were moments when the trail was pretty dark. And the first few times that happens, it's usually, I hear this from people all the time, like I'm going backwards. I seem to never get ahead. When in reality, if you look at the total picture of it, you have gotten quite a bit ahead. You now have found another spot.
Right. And you know, every spot like that I get to, it's because I've done the work. A lot of people also say I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. No, we're not stuck. We're just in a holding pattern.
Yep.
And we're working through things on a unconscious level or a spiritual level. And so that's an ego term.
Yes.
See, again, they're shaming me, judging me that I'm stuck. I'm not
right.
doing what I need to do to move forward.
Right.
Instead of here's where I am. I need to sit with it.
Yeah.
Spirit is always conspiring to help us and to support us and to move us forward.
Yeah.
That's part of the divine contract.
Inspiring us to move forward. I love that. You know, I think the key, well, observation is a big part of it, right? You got to observe where you're at. And when you hear those bits and pieces and you feel that tug, follow that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Those are the nuggets. Those are the little bits and pieces that lead to some bigger awarenesses and breakthroughs. And then you won't feel as much like you're stuck, but then maybe you mentioned holding pattern. Maybe you're in this space gathering resources to make it through to the next area, the next big thing. You know, you can't drive your car from Michigan to California without enough gas in there. You're not going to get yourself from conception to awakening without adding fuel in. Sometimes that fuel is rest periods. Mm-hmm. You know, even nature goes into dormancy periods. You know, Michigan has four seasons. not all, well, I suppose everybody has four seasons. It just looks different in different places. But in Michigan, it's very visible, the seasons. And so as the leaves fall off in the fall and we go into winter, people say, you know, it's a sad time. Winter is actually a rest time. Mm-hmm. It's a dormant time. It's a sleeping time. And even the light is less, you know, it's one of those like Mother Nature says, I'm going to give you a little less light. I want you to rest a little bit more. Because when I start giving you nourishment in the spring, that's going to be the kickstart for growth. And you're going to keep moving forward.
Everything's germinating under the surface.
Yes.
And that's the same thing that happens with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing process. Do you want to show them a little bit of breath work? Can we show them anything?
I don't know.
We can go through a couple of things that I do with people.
Yeah.
So my introduction to breath work was related to stress, related to the vagus nerve. So when we're stressed out, we breathe very shallow up here. And I'll often ask people, breathe for me. And they don't even know it because they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
It is just how they breathe. And we have to retrain the body to go into a deep breath. There's a whole biological mechanism, but here's the short version. When you're breathing up here, your body thinks that you're being chased by a bear. It stays in fight flight. It stays in that sympathetic nervous system. But when you breathe all the way down to your belly button and get that big, deep diaphragmatic breath, your body goes, oh, we're safe. Okay, I can release the tension. I can release the cortisol. I can release this norepinephrine, epinephrine, all of these sort of kinds of chemicals that are running through your body. And then I can rest. So just even putting your hands on your belly, breathing in through your nose and focusing on expanding your belly button while you breathe in, and then depressing your belly button or forcing all that air out the bottom and clearing out all the stagnant air is a great place to start. And then when people are stressed out, 4, 7, 8 breath is great. Breathe in for 4, hold for 7, out for 8, calms the whole system down. Brings you to a calmer place. And then I like to do the fast breathing, the fast nasal breathing, because I feel like it brings you present into your body. It wakes all your systems up, kind of gets things going. Yeah. Yeah. So just a quick. And the belly's moving the whole time. So I'm not increasing stress. I'm increasing energy and activity within my body, and I'm getting present. Because when people are stressed out, it's like their spirit goes, like, I can't be here right now. It's too stressful. Your ego's in charge. You're stressed out. I'm going to go for a ride. And so it does that.
Yeah, and in breath work, the suggestion is that you breathe what we call circular breathing. So you can either through your nose or mouth, however it's comfortable for you, you breathe a little deeper in, as Juliana was talking about the diaphragm, and then you release a little deeper, because a lot of times with that shallow breathing, we have all this stale air in our lungs, and so we don't get the oxygen we need for the brain to function as well at an optimum level. So it's and I have to stop because I've done so much breath work that'll throw me off into an altered state. I'll be offline.
Right.
It's in the bad thing. It's just I want to have some context here.
Right
be present
yeah.
right now with the message.
Never knows what the conversation will go into.
That's true. Yeah.
So, well, good. Do you integrate essential oils or crystals with the breath work at all?
I do more of the crystals in terms of layouts if people have intentions and things like that. Some of the difficulty, you can use essential oils, it's just some people have, especially if you're doing a group, people have sensitivities so that other people don't have. So that would be it. Probably most of that I do either before or after the breath work, kind of see what you know, your psyche says, what the message is, and then what your guidance is around those things. Now, you can ask questions about that of your higher self and get answers. You just have to be careful that your ego isn't trying to sneak in there and control the experience by putting up these different props.
Oh, props. Got it. So. Yeah. Because in the end, we only really need ourselves in our connection with Source right. and Mother Earth, because all of that energy is available in the morphic field.
Yeah. And it's always the memory. There is never a moment of separation between us, each other,
yes,
and Source. Mm-hmm. And so there's our blueprint, and yet our blueprint is intertwined with the blueprint of everything else in existence.
Yeah. So if you need black obsidian, ask for it to be brought to you.
Right.
Yeah.
I have some.
If you have some, that's great stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Two more questions. One is, talk about the closing or the integration. What do you do at the end of a breathwork?
Okay. At the end of the breathwork, what we do is there's a callback where people come back into from their experience, because it's an individual experience. And then what we have people do is we have people in some way put down on paper their experience. Mm-hmm. Either through words, writing, crayons, coloring, painting, that kind of thing, because it's a 2-hour experience and there's a lot of imagery that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encourage people to put things on paper.
Yeah.
And there's a resistance to that. I was doing some work with somebody the other day, and the time came for them to use the crayons and different things. Well, I can't think of anything. I don't have any images. Now, what do I do with it? You know, and they got into that artist block.
Mm.
You know, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. So I had a little block there. And yet, as I talked to them, you know, they talked about vines, they talked about waterfalls, they talked about all these things that had symbolic meaning to them.
Right.
And so then what I asked them to do is to go back and put that on paper.
Right.
Because the ego over time will kick back in and you will lose track of those things.
Right.
So you want to put it down on paper, and then you want to share it as part of an integrated process with others. Mm-hmm. And then I usually tell people that it's refrigerator art.
Yeah.
So you put it on your refrigerator afterwards and you can meditate on it, and things will come to you over a longer period of time.
Right.
Because again, this is your psyche. It's not bound by the same rules as your conscious mind is.
Yeah. When you're traveling within breath work and the sound, you're traveling through multiple dimensions of the mind, of the energy field. By drawing, you're manifesting that, beginning the manifestation of that in third dimension, wherever it's meant to be physically manifested. So that's the other nice thing. And you engage both sides of the brain, which then has a stronger integration, stronger connection within, again, the spirit and then the physical dimensions. So that's really cool. I love doing that. I really did enjoy that. And I'm not a great artist by any means. I tried to draw a dragon. It looked like a dog with ruffled hair, but that's okay.
She did fine. Well with the flames.
I did with the flames.
Yeah.
So that was pretty powerful stuff. And I would encourage people with any hesitation, as Lewis said, is start to talk through it, because as I was more comfortable in my intellectual mind for most of my life, sometimes that integration from the intellectual to the artistic brain is a really nice flow once you get the intellectual mind engaged back in the process. So I think that's pretty cool. Crystals. Let's just talk about that for a second.
Okay. For a second? Oh my God.
I know. I'm just going to introduce the topic.
We'll
have to do another conversation later on crystals, because we know that that is a, woo,
mm-hmm.
that is a galactic conversation.
Yeah.
Somebody walks up to your table, has never done crystals before, has never, not sure what to do or what to buy. What do you tell them?
Well, what I start with is that, there is a frequency between them and the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that we are all crystalline forms.
Yes.
And so then what you can do is you can begin to just scan the table. So a lot of people use their hands and move through see what resonates with them.
Yeah.
Some people look at a piece and it seems bigger than other pieces.
Mm.
And again, that's your psyche connecting with the frequency of the crystal to call to you.
Yeah.
And so I just invite people to experience that, to work with them a little bit, take a crystal, and if it calls to you, and then meditate with it over time and see what shows up, because now the mineral stone kingdom is an amazing place. I have, a lot of people say, what do I do for this, for kidneys? What do I do for that? And there are volumes of books
right
about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what we're shifting into is we're shifting into a time of self-authority.
Yes.
And so then the book may say as the authority about what you need may not be what your body says.
Right.
You need. And so it's really, it also helps to attune you to that,
yes,
the inner knowing that we all have. So,
right.
And then and they pick something, and then we'll look at the book and we'll see what that means or what it represents and what it helps. And most of the time they go, oh yeah, I need that. That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And where it does not connect, there's something you don't know yet.
Right.
Yeah. About yourself, about your journey, about what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful thing about that process is it's intuitively guided. So anybody that's not into their intuition, that's not trusting it yet, that's a pretty easy way to go, right?
Yeah.
I think that stone is really pretty blue. I'm going to take this one, or I don't know why, but I just want this one. Trust that. Let it happen, take that one with you and see what comes out of it. And I bet if you were to look up, pick a stone, blue kyanite, you're going to find 100 different interpretations of blue kyanite, and that speaks to this sovereignty and the individuality of the connection between you and that crystal, your experience, your life's purpose, your emotional situations, etc. It speaks to that uniqueness. And that's part of what's beautiful about it, is because when I do a meditation and we go through the crystal layer of the earth, it's a very generic, you take in the codes that you need. You take in the things that your energetic field, your spirit, your soul, your body needs right now, because that's probably going to change next time we go in. Because you're in a different place, as you said, you've integrated, you've healed, you've worked through, you've closed the door on some things. Now you've got some new stuff making its appearance.
Yeah.
It's a cool process.
It is a cool process.
I see it now as an adventure and a curiosity. It has become much more fun to identify stuff. It was identified to me that there had been a curse put on my family recently. Now, a lot of people go, ooh, curse. I'm like, oh, curse. Where'd that come from? Where does it appear? How do I clear it? And do I need to clean anything up afterwards? And I did. I had to do some genetic cleanup and some other things. It was not a fearful thing. It was, good piece of knowledge. Now let me see what I got to do as a result of having a piece of knowledge, and dove into it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's what I look at again, because of my path, my divine blueprint, that curse is just giving me practice, giving me something else to work on, to work through.
Yeah.
So like you said, you looked at genetic codes, you looked at clearing the house, you looked at different things. And so then you became more empowered.
Yes.
On your path.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I do that, then curses or time bombs or any of those kinds of things aren't as scary now as they were.
No, they're not scary for me at all either. So I think that's a great conversation for today, and certainly an intro to many more good conversations. So we will definitely do more of those.
Good.
Lewis, how do they find you if they want to get a hold of you?
They can find me at www.thewizardscavellc.com. My phone number is 928-925-1017. And my email is lewis@thewizardscavellc.com.
Awesome.
Yes.
Good. So I know this is time sensitive. We're in April of 2022. Where can they find you next? say the next three locations, if they want to come get some of your fostered crystals.
Okay. The next show I'm doing is I'm trying to think. I just scheduled one. I think it's in Jackson. Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the show. I can, if you check with me, it'll be up on my calendar soon.
Okay.
And then I'll be in Sarasota, Florida, the third week of May.
Mm.
And then the last week of May, Memorial Day weekend, I'll be in Alpena at Helix Expo there, promoted by Sadie Sorcery.
Yep.
And then the following weekend will be the another expo in Battle Creek, Michigan.
That's at the Holiday Inn, right?
That's at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be at that one.
Well, so. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to remind you to sign up.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I haven't finished that.
Because we have a lot of fun together.
We do have a lot of fun together. And the whole group is really beautiful. And everyone there has got their heart in the right place. Mm-hmm. They really want to help people, really want to guide people. So, and make it a little more fun and happy and easier path.
Yeah.
So, it's good. Yeah. Yeah. So good. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And there will be many, many more to come.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Blessings.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you want more, you want consultation, you want self-help, healing, you can find me at wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. I look forward to meeting you and helping you along your journey to full empowerment and healing.